seriously, they're not going to be a finals threat. The way they played today, they rolled over and capitulated. But the simple fact is that once again, we've stepped up to the plate and we've failed.
The thing that annoys me is week in, week out, I reckon we have the dumbest team in the AFL. Our ability to tackle in a way that allows them to get a hand pass just killed us.
They're our own worst enemies. I've never seen a more inconsistent group in the history of the Crows.
What's going on with these Crows? They're weak. They're a disgrace. They're not even worth to make the finals.
It's just that shallow forward 50 entry. It burns us every time.
I'm shattered. I'm like you blokes. Unbelievably appalling.
We are just simply not good enough.
I don't know what it is. Mental toughness? Is it a commitment?
Now, that's the frustration of the 19th man immediately after the Crows lost to West Coast, where emotions are high. And
they were
in the 5AA box, so you can understand that. But now the dust has settled. Do you feel any better, or are you still as frustrated?
No, I think I'm probably still as frustrated. That one got me on the weekend. They'd convinced me that they were on their way up and improving, and this just felt like another step up, and it's been a step back.
And I'm sure the coaching staff and players feel the same way. Mm. Frustrated again, lost a game they were expected to win at home. I think that's what it is. I mean, if it was Hawthorne or a Geelong or a top four and you went down screaming, you'd think, well, okay. But as a team that they were expected to win, to explain and give some answers, one of their stars, Scotty Thompson. Tomo, thanks for your time.
No worries, gentlemen. How are you going?
I think the word frustration sums it up, but anger comes in as well. I know you players feel just as much, but can you explain what went wrong?
Well, a number of things in the end, didn't we? But I was listening to you boys before. It was a game we're expected to win, and one as a group we thought we're good enough to win, and for whatever reason on the weekend that wasn't the case. And it is bitterly disappointing for the group. The coaching staff and all our supporters, because after such a good win last week against Collingwood that snuck us into eighth spot for 1 week at least, the weekend's results were really disappointing.
Was your team's preparation for the game spot on? And I'm not questioning it, but it's a question, because the week before, the mindset against Collingwood was, we have to win. We will win. We'll will ourselves to win, and we need to win. Where this one, the preparation for me from afar, from the coaching staff, was, you know, we've got to be ruthless. Santa kept saying ruthless. Well, was it the same preparation, Scotty?
Yeah, our preparation was good.
Yep.
We went into the game with high expectations, and, you know, in the end, we didn't deserve to win with that performance in the last quarter. But as far as mindset goes, it's hard to speak about every player individually. Yep. And knowing what their mindset is. But from sitting back and looking at the group and the way we prepared for the game was no different to any other week.
Scotty, I think maybe what made it as frustrating or more frustrating for everybody was your first 10 minutes were absolutely outstanding, copybook, four goals to nothing. It just looked so good, and then it changed so quickly.
Yeah, you're spot on. And, you know, we went into the quarter-time break down after such a good start. And it's hard to pinpoint what the exact reason is, because when we jump out the blocks like that, you'd hope and you expect it to continue right across the game. I mean, no game do you control the momentum from start to finish. But when you start a game like that, you don't expect the turnaround that we had. And in the end, it was something like a 10-goal turnaround from halfway through that first quarter.
Did you notice anything on the ground? As a senior playing group, obviously you speak about it and the shift of momentum, which I guess you can feel, but could you sense a structural change at all?
No, in the end, we probably, I don't know whether we got outworked to a certain degree. I mean, we worked hard for our goals, but at times they scored far too easily. Mm. I think in the end they had 36 scoring shots, something along those lines.
Yep.
So, you know, that's far too many opportunities for the opposition as far as shots on goal goes. And when you're allowing that, you're not going to win too many games. So whether it was they did outwork us or their ball use, there wasn't enough pressure on them to force them into, you know, poor execution.
How much of this inconsistency, if you like, in team performance from week to week is mental, Tomo?
Wow, it's a good question. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about inconsistency throughout the whole year with that 8 or 9 week stretch we went on where it was win-loss. So, I mean, from that side of it, it's very frustrating, but it's hard to actually pinpoint what the reason is. Where there is mental problems within the group, I don't know. You can't just put your finger on something and say that's the exact reason.
Last quarter leadership then. Let's start with that. The instructional voice. Was it good? Was it average? Was it bad? Because that can help with inconsistency of performance when the leaders have instructional voice and get the guys up.
Yeah, no, there's no doubting that was the same as it always is. Just for whatever reason, we got beaten in a number of areas in that last quarter, and that's the reason we lost the game. We've got some outstanding young leaders in our team at the moment, and that was no different to any other week.
West Coast kicked 20 goals. They had 36 scoring shots. Their efficiency inside 50 was frightening. It'd make them the top team if they did that every week. Your team defence on the weekend just wasn't up to it, Scotty.
No, that's right, and I touched on that when I said before, that having 36 shots on goal throughout a game of footy, you're not going to win too many. So whether the pressure up the field wasn't at the standard that it needs to be, or clearly it wasn't, because it's going inside 50 uncontested, and it makes life very hard for our defenders. And you touched on their inside 50 efficiency. It's probably far higher than what it should be if there's enough pressure on the ball up the ground.
The common theme for the losses for me are turnovers, turning the ball over in areas you just can't defend them, your defensive spread. What other common themes are there, Tomo, for you that you just got to turn around and get some consistency with?
You need that high work rate, offensively and defensively, as a side. If you're allowing them to get too much time and space, most teams will chop you up with the ball. We probably got caught out a couple of times there on the weekend. There's a number of tackling. We need to stick tackles. And then we've got the ball going forward. We need to be smarter with our ball use, so we can control the tempo of the game if we have to, rather than blazing away to certain parts of the ground and turning the ball over.
Scotty, as an elder statesman, we get to ask you the hard questions. Is this reality? I mean, you know, choose how you want to answer them, but is this the reality of where this team is at the moment, that at this stage of your development and growth and whatever, that you're a middle-of-the-road team?
I guess the easy answer is yes. I mean, at this time of the year, I don't think the ladder lies. Yep. We're sitting now in 10th place for a reason, and, you know, I touched on before, that was a game that we were expected to win, and I still believe we're good enough to win that game, but for whatever reason, we didn't. So, as a group, we deserve to be exactly where we are on the ladder at this point in time.
Did you play unfit players? Did you play too many players that weren't 100%? I know this time of year you roll the dice, but there were probably five or so that weren't 100%. Is that a risk you can't afford?
It's a tricky question to answer, because if blokes put their hand up to play and say that they're fit to play, you back them in if they're on your best side. So looking back, it's an argument you can have, but what's the right or wrong answer, I'm not too sure.
Loss of one player in Daniel Tarley, was a key player. You couldn't cover
that's
him.
Right.
Did that run that sting?
No, that's right. Yep. And, you know, he's very important with the way we structure up in the back half. He very rarely gets beaten, and he was doing a very good job till he went off. And, you know, Kennedy's such an important player for them. And unfortunately, we got, with our size and type of players we had down there, and we got caught at the end.
Did they rough you up and you couldn't respond? They appeared to get very physical in the second term. It was part of their way of getting themselves back in the game. They seemed almost to a man to get a very physical approach to their game. Did that upset you?
Didn't notice that any more than the other game.
Now, Tomo, I owe you an apology in my frustration calling the game for double A. Prittis won a ball. He ran forward of stoppage with absolute ease. I called in the call. You'd think Tomo could tackle him or put some sort of pressure on him. Andrew McLeod, the great Andrew McLeod, was our special comments. He said, "Roy, it's hard when he's off the ground getting his hammies right." So I do apologise for that. But just on that, another
so
comment.
Potting the poor bloke when I'm sitting on the pine, mate.
You were getting your hammies rubbed on the boundary line, and I thought, oh, goodness me, that's poor, Stephen. But I had to come clean with that, Tomo. But the common theme for me with that midfield group and this team defence is it just seems, and it did on the weekend, that a midfielder gets off the chain.
That can happen in any game. If you're not running a heavy tag roll or run with, whatever you want to call it, there are going to be times in games where players, especially through the midfield, when they're around the contest or the game, they get on a bit of a hot streak and they find themselves winning the ball. And you've both played a whole lot of footy. When you know you're hot, the ball just ends up in your hand at times. And every now and then you might have to just send a player to them just to cool them off a bit and try and take the game away from them individually for a period of time. It wasn't just one or two on the weekend. In the end, I mean, their whole midfield was quite damaging at times on the weekend. A lot of them had a stack of the ball, and especially Gaff. Gaff really chopped us up on the outside with his outside run and ball carry. I think when he kicked three goals, didn't he, and had 30-odd touches. So things like that we can't allow. So as a midfield group, we take responsibility for that. And, you know, it's the same for us. When our players are playing well with Dangerfield, Sloan, Douglas, those types, you know, more often than not, I think our midfield does better than the opposition midfield. So on the weekend, you'd probably question whether we were or not, but we're definitely talking about those things throughout every game.
So, Tomo, as the makeup of that midfield group, and you're a big, big part of it, now I know VB and Kerridge aren't there, do you feel more confidence when you do have a negating type of player in the shuffle that can do that job on that important midfielder?
To be honest, I'm not a fan of using a player in a run with or tag role as such for a whole game.
Yep.
I prefer to have three genuine midfielders playing and then having midfield accountability both ways, you know, offensively and defensively, and back ourselves in defensively to shut them down when they're when they've got the ball in their hand. So from my point of view, I'd rather have three genuine mids rather than one defensive negating tagging player in there.
What now, Scotty? What now for the team?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, another challenging game against, an informed Brisbane side now up at the Gabba. We'll just go about controlling what we can, and that's starting with winning this game this weekend. We find ourselves in 10th spot, as I touched on before, so the hard thing for us now is we rely on other teams to lose, but that's out of our control, so we can't sit there and worry about what's happening around us. We'll just focus on what we can control, I guess.
Has there been any damage done by this loss, like emotionally to the group? Like, is there still enough belief there?
Yeah, I think there's definitely enough belief there. You don't lose belief after 1 week when you have such a good win against Collingwood at the G. This is bitterly disappointing against West Coast, but no, the boys are still up and about, and still a lot of belief within the group that we are good enough, but we're definitely running out of time, that's for sure.
How's Daniel Talia today? I mean, I guess that one's not going to play out till later in the week?
No, he'll just go through the normal concussion testing throughout the week. He seems all right at this stage, but with concussion, I guess you never know, so they'll be testing him throughout the week.
How's your body in those string-a-ding-dings, Scott?
Fantastic. No, it's a challenging time of year for me. I've been quite lucky for the majority of the year. Yeah. I've been quite good, and the last 4 weeks I've had a few little issues going on, which is frustrating, but late in the year a lot of guys have got niggles, but I'll just try and manage myself as best as possible to get through the year and hopefully contribute as much as I can to the side.
Well, you're super important to them. We hope you do. Just to finish on a couple of positives, housemates Taylor Walker's form and Brad Crouch, he's building a game, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I've got a lot of time for Crouchy. The way he goes about his footy is, I've said it a number of times in different things. To me, he's just your natural footballer. He's not some unbelievable athlete, but he's just knows how to read the game, knows how to find the footy inside and out, uses it well. So a player that I'm going to definitely love watching once I've retired, and Big Tex is going all right too. You know, it's always going to be a challenge for him when he first came back into the side with 12 months out of the game, but he's starting to find his feet, and hopefully over the coming weeks and through next pre-season, we'll see him get bigger and better again.
Now, Tomo, you're down the Ramsgate Hotel for a Legends at your local luncheon. It's not this Friday, next Friday, the 15th of August. I hope you got some really good entertaining stories for the patrons, because it's a full house to come and see Tomo at the Ramsgate.
Couple of cheeky pints, or no?
Well, who do you play that week? You got Brisbane, and then you're back home against Richmond.
But Scotty,
Friday.
Rowie's daughter's pouring them, so you might need to be careful. There could be a little bit of spillage, we believe.
She doesn't spill. She's their best bar person, thank you.
See? Read into that what you will, Scott. Keep your distance.
Very good.
Tomo, all the best, mate. Look forward to seeing you at the Ramsgate Hotel. That's the Friday, the 15th of August. Keep up the form, buddy, and all the best, and thanks for your time.
Look forward to it. Cheers,
well done. Good on you, Scotty.
Scotty Thompson there.